This morning, church, as we look at God's Word, I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and let us look and see what the Lord has for us today. Now, you may recognize that my phone is doing strange things, guys, and it's really, really messed up. And I cannot get it to stop what it's doing. So, hey, Tom, I didn't mean to call you. This is preaching time, and I didn't mean to call you. And I can't get it to stop. There we go. Okay. We're going to be looking at Matthew's Gospel. The reason I'm fiddling with my phone at all, folks, is because I have the sermon on there, and it is a good sermon, and I want to share it with you. And so I am going to try to do that this morning. And
do you want me to get that one?
That would be wonderful. Yes. Because you have to turn it now upside down to get it to work right sometimes, and right side up to get it to work right other times. See, there's glitter, that's what you have to do. It won't do. So that's fine, it may not do that. Just go to the email. I have that email. All right. Challenges abound. And, you know, we have opportunity in the Lord to meet those challenges and to honor him, even in the process of that. Now, as we come together this morning, and our scripture is from John chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. And as I look at that, even call out the name, you may recognize that that is the part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's gospel records that Jesus gathered the disciples or gathered people there in a particular place on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and up a hill that goes up about 50 feet is the mound that supposedly the Sermon on the Mound was preached from. And it is a beautiful place. There's a natural veil that goes up in there that is a wonderful amphitheater-like place. And so that maybe Jesus could have stood in that possibly, we really don't know. But that's what tradition says. It was at this place. And then that little veil is would be a good place for that, so that he could be heard by many. And what Matthew's gospel records is that Jesus had this particular sermon that was just this massive sermon. It lasts from Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. All three chapters talk about this Sermon on the Mount. And what in reality it probably was is this Sermon on the Mount that Matthew records is a collection of all of Jesus's teaching that he taught regularly. And so he taught these things not just one time, but he taught them again and again and again. And Matthew just includes all of the things that he taught regularly and puts it here under this one sermon, so he doesn't feel like maybe he has to go through and say he preached here and he preached there and he preached down there and up there and everywhere. And so we have what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, John's gospel records the specific part that we're going to be looking at this morning also. It is interesting to me that John's gospel and Matthew's are the only two that record Jesus teaching us how to pray. And John's gospel has it in quite a different context than Matthew's gospel. There again, I think Matthew just said, okay, this is the things that he taught. And he put them there in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And so as we look at the gospel this morning, we're going to be looking at chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And God's word says, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. I tell you that they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. Amen. Folks, prayer is important to us. And as we gather for prayer, as we gather for prayer, for worship this morning, I wanted to make sure that we took ample time and gave some specific attention to prayer this morning. The definition of prayer is talking to God. But folks, it should be much, much more than that. You see, when you talk to somebody, you're not interested so much that they give you anything back. If you're just talking to someone, God invites us into relationship with him. And that means that communication should be two-way and not one-way. How many of you think of prayer as, oh, this is when I tell God what I want to tell him? That is not prayer. That is you telling God what you want to tell him. Okay? Prayer has a part of it where you are also seeking what God would have to say to you. And that often means a time of silence to be able to hear. We're going to talk more about that time of silence because it is so very important to our prayers. And as we think about prayer and look at prayer, it is something that we do in relationship with God. And in that, we also should understand that our relationship with God is very much like a child's relationship with their father. And as such, we know that a child is submissive to the father because the father is physically stronger than the child, and the child has to obey the father in the household or in the family. And we see the same kind of relationship with us and the Father. It is also quite natural for children to ask their parents or their dad for this thing that they want or they need. It comes natural. And it is okay to ask God for the things that we want in life or the things that we need. It is not wrong to ask that. It is not a good thing when that becomes the only time we come to the Lord, is to ask God as though he is some kind of miraculous giver that always is ready to give whatever it is that we express a desire for. The website crew says, many people say that prayer is just talking to God as you would to anyone else. And it's true that a relationship with God contains many of the same ingredients as other relationships, but there is at least one unique factor. You cannot rely on the senses of sight, sound, or touch to connect with God. Charles Spurgeon, the great, great preacher of the 20th century, says, true prayer is neither mere mental exercise nor vocal performance. It is deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the creator of heaven and earth. A spiritual transaction. Folks, is that how you see prayer? As a spiritual transaction? And so that brings us to the question of how do we pray? And first of all, I want you to know that there is no secret formula. There are no magic words. There are no secret phrases that you might repeat that's going to cause God to be so impressed with you and your prayer that he will do whatever you ask. God does not work that way. And if your desire is to impress God, you need to go back to the beginning. You know, in some games we play, you hit a space and it says, you know, for whatever foul, go to the beginning. You know, that's what we need to do in our Christian practice. If our goal in prayer is to impress God, God is impressed with us only in our faithfulness to him. And so, God does not require any special thing or any special formula, but he delights when we come to him in simplicity and in honesty. Now, folks, I want you to see that there is a difference in public prayer and private prayer. Public prayer, when we gather together, is a different kind of prayer than the private prayer that God calls us into and leads us into when we are by ourselves or with our family members or whatever. This public prayer is a time when we gather together and there are specific formulas for praying. At certain times we'll pray for those in need. At certain times we'll pray for God's presence. At certain times we'll pray for other specific things. And that's the public prayer. But in our personal, private prayer life, it is personal and it is real. And God wants us to understand that he is real and ready to be right there with us when we call on his name and when we come to him in a godly way. And it does not have to be this polished prayer. You know, our opening prayer that we have our lecture read for us on Sunday morning is written out. We write it out. And look, we go through great pains to make sure that the words are precise and exactly what we want them to say. This week alone, we spent over 30 minutes refining the prayer after it was first written. Okay? I was on the phone with Carolyn, and I was not able to be at the office that day, and we just went over it word for word and refined it. I saw that it was different in the bulletin than it was on the screen because we sent Crystal the unrefined version. And so it was a little bit different this morning. But prayers are important, and what we do is, and when we pray, we honor God in the praying. And folks, that has to be what our prayer life is for, is honoring God with it. And so when we pray, we need to pray to God honestly and openly. And you can start by addressing God in an appropriate way. We often say things like Father God, Heavenly Father, or something like that to acknowledge that we are talking to the Almighty God. And what that does for us is it causes us to understand who we are addressing, the proper reverence that is due to the one that we are addressing. And it causes us to acknowledge him as God. And so as we're doing that, it acknowledges his uniqueness, God's uniqueness. Now, what we can do is we're talking to God. We often do not allow for silence in our prayers. Oh, Father God, I have a need, and this need is real. Or even a better prayer. Oh, Father, I know that this situation is going on, and the people are hurting, and I lift them. I lift them for Jesus, for the prayer. I mean, I lift them for your blessing, Jesus, our Lord. And look, as we are in a time of corporate prayer, there's not a lot of time for the silence. But then, as we are in personal prayer, that silence is important to us. That silence leads us into the relationship of God. And I encourage you, church, as we're praying, that you make sure that you have that time of silence. Now, I say silence is hard for us, especially in this 21st century. Silence is hard for us because as we're sitting in silence, we don't have any input, and we're so conditioned to want and need input. But when we're sitting in silence, there's no TV, there's no computer, there's no internet. There's no thing that is feeding us something that we usually have all the time. There's no entertainment coming in. And we are so used to that in our lives that it makes us uncomfortable. But silence is necessary for us as human beings. It is calming. It is peaceful. It is relaxing and centering. Sometimes it is necessary for us to get back to center. And when we're doing that in prayer, then we are centering ourselves on the great thing that we need in our lives, and that is the relationship with God Almighty. Amen? And so we need to have times where we sit in silence for minutes at a time. Minutes. I'm not saying hours, okay? Minutes. It is great to get lost in that time. You know, one of the things that's very popular in the United States is meditation, particularly Eastern religion meditation. People pay others to come and teach them how to meditate. But I don't have any particular problem with meditation. But folks, I will tell you that as you are silent before the Lord, that is the best meditation that you can have. Because if you think that you have to go through some ritual to get to some state so that the Lord will grant peace into your life, you're serving the wrong God. If you will simply go to Him honestly and straightforwardly, and then sit and wait on Him, Scripture tells us to hear His still, small voice. You can't do that if there's a television blaring at you and you're sitting there praying while the television's going on. I'm watching television, but I'm going to pray too. No, that don't work. Now, there is such a thing as praying while you're doing other things. I get a call sometime, and I might be driving down the road, and I will pray for people right there while I'm driving. Yes, I'm keeping my eye on the road. Sometimes I have to pull off because I need to get that deep in prayer, right? But we do pray while we're doing other things. But that should not be the existence of our prayers. We need to set aside time to pray, to be in relationship with the Father. It is necessary for our well-being as human beings and as Christians. It is necessary. You see, God has designed us to resonate with that kind of communication and communion with Him. We literally have a need for this kind of communication with God. Lisa Turkhurst is an evangelist, and she quoted Kierkegaard, who is a marginal Christian, I think, but was. He's long since dead and gone, but he is quoted often in Christianity, and she quoted him and then added something. She said, "The reality is prayers don't change God, but I am convinced prayer changes me." And then she added, "Praying boldly boots me out of that stale place of religious habit into authentic connection with God Himself." Prayer can be done anytime, anywhere, and with any posture. The Jews were called to pray at the temple because that's where the house of God was. That was where God had His being. But folks, we know a God that is almighty. He is omnipotent and He is omnipresent. That means that He is all powerful and that He is everywhere. This morning, right now, or in this time zone alone, at the 11 o'clock hour, there are thousands of churches gathered together, and God is in every one of them with every one of those believers. He is the God who is everywhere all at the same time and not dividing Himself, but He is fully present with us right here in this sanctuary. And He is fully present with all of our neighbors up and down the road and across this whole time zone. God's full attention is with us. That makes him omnipotent, okay? All powerful. That all present nature of him makes him all powerful. And so when we pray, we have the Father's attention, because not only is he with us when we gather, he is with us when we are apart from each other too. When we're in our homes and when we're praying, wherever we pray, God is with us. And do you know what he asks of us in prayer? He asks us just to be honest with him. No fancy words. No formula. Just come to him and pour our heart out for him. There was a movie recently called War Room. I think it's about 2 or 3 years old. A very good movie. If you've not seen it, you need to see it. War Room. And it's about believers of a particular church, and they were so fervent in their prayer that they cleaned out a place in their home to have a special place for prayer. And they would go in there and close the door and pray. Now, in the movie, it was a closet. They simply cleaned out a closet and said, I'm not going to put clothes in boxes in there anymore. It's going to be my prayer place where I have a Bible and perhaps a devotional, like Upper Room or something. So that if they get in there and their mind is so scattered with all the worries of life that they can look at that devotional and become to calm down a little bit so that they can be in prayer with God. What a great thing to have a prayer room in your house where you go and you have that space dedicated to praying with the Lord. I recommend it to you. And your posture or your position does not matter either. You can pray anywhere, at any time, in any position. I went to a conference in Atlanta early on in my ministry career, and a man there named Terry Teagle is well known around the world for his prayer life. He teaches nothing but prayer, and he was the featured speaker at this conference. And when Terry Teagle prays, he likes to lay down on the floor on his belly with his face to the floor in complete submission to the Lord. Father, he said, he explained this way. I don't care what happens in the building. I don't care who would trample me. I don't care what's going on. I am going to submit completely to the Lord. And he models that for us. That doesn't mean that that's the way to pray. That's the way for Terry Teagle to pray. And that's legitimate. And I found great example in that, his dedication to that. But folks, we can pray in any posture. Normally, when we gather together for a corporate prayer, we pray with our heads bowed. And we do that as a sign of submission to the Lord, okay? A humbleness before the Lord. And our eyes are normally closed. Now, I used to wonder as a child, why we're praying to God, do we look down? Okay, you're really not supposed to be looking to start with. You follow me? The eyes are supposed to be closed in that time, so that if the Lord were to lead something, that you would be ready for it. You're focusing on Him, not looking at what's happening on your shoes. Okay, or so your shoes are untied or whatever. We don't want to get distracted, so we close our eyes. But look, you can pray while you're driving that car. Just don't let it distract you from the driving. You can pray looking up and praising God. You can pray laying on your back or on your tummy. You can pray in any posture. The Lord doesn't ask us to do anything specific. He just wants us to come. He wants us to be in communion with Him and communication with Him. Praise His name. And as we do, we are honored in that prayer and in that time. And we then go before Him. Now, there are a couple of things, and my sermon is just gone, so I'm going to bring it from here on. My phone's giving up the ghost. It literally broke yesterday. So we're just going to wing it from here on out. Say what?
When you get back?
No, that's all right. And so what we have here, guys, is prayer. In the prayer, there are three things that I think that we need to understand about an effective prayer. First of all, an effective prayer needs to be godly. An effective prayer needs to be honest. And an effective prayer needs to be real. Those three things. And so as we look at an effective prayer being godly, we see in scripture that that Jesus taught us this specific prayer to pray to God. And notice in this prayer, it begins with our Father who art in heaven. It acknowledges who God is and where he is. And not only that he is just there, but in acknowledging that he is there, Jesus is also acknowledging that he is the one in charge. There's no point to pray to anybody else unless they're in charge, right? And so in praying and acknowledging that he is in heaven, also acknowledges that he is also in charge in heaven. And our Father, Father, Lord, hallowed be thy name. In other words, we honor your name. Just the name of God should be honored. He puts God in his proper place and it lets us know that we are praying to the Almighty God. And then he goes on and may your kingdom come and your will be done. What he's saying there, folks, and of course you already know that this model prayer is that we would submit all things to your will, Father. Now, that's a godly prayer. When we can submit all things to God's will. You see, often we pray, and I do, a regular. Oh, Father, I want to see this person healed and walking out. Healed so that I can continue to have a relationship with them. Healed so that I can know their presence in my life. I don't want to give up that presence. There is a desire there for my sisters and my brothers. But I love God more than anything. And so I'm willing to submit to God's will in it. Father, I would have you do this if you would. But Lord, I would rather your will be done than anything I can imagine. You see, another way that we can pray godly prayers is that we pray, and as our goal in the prayer, for God to be glorified. You know, you do that now. I can come up with a whole bunch of ways too. Oh, Father, if you would heal this person so that they couldn't be healed any other way, then you would be glorified. And wouldn't that be a great thing for you, God, if you would just do this thing and people would see that you had to act and you had to do it. You know what he tells me often? And I do pray that prayer a lot. He tells me, Lord, you raise somebody from the dead and they still won't believe. Why would they take notice of this? You see, there's lots of ways that we can figure for God to be glorified. But he isn't looking for vainglory. He ain't looking for a passing fad. He's looking for us. And the best way that we can be in godly prayer is to truly seek whatever it is that God wants, even when we don't know what that is. Trusting that in God is healing for all of the ailments of the world. Some of them he will choose not to heal until he calls us home. We need to be that submissive to God, to be honoring to him. And I am well aware that there are many gathered with us who are battling diseases in their bodies and in their minds as I say those things. Another way to be God-honoring in prayer is to pray the scriptures back to him. Now, I want you to realize that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that's what we're doing. Jesus taught us to pray saying, right? And this is scripture. And we're giving back to the Lord. But we can also have, look, there's no magic formula. Let me give you an example of a prayer that we might pray in scripture. And an example of a prayer that we might pray where we're giving scripture back to the Lord. And you might say, oh, Brian, I don't know. I can quote scripture. I don't know what's about. But you know, do you know your understanding of it? Then pray that back. Lord, you've told me. It doesn't matter what you told me. He's not looking for a verse in scripture or a verse in number, right? He's looking for your heart. to be in it. Oh, Lord, you promised me that if I submit myself to you, you're going to hear this prayer. And so I know, Lord, that you're going to hear this prayer. Look, you're telling him back what he's told you. That means that you've looked to see what he told you. You care enough about his word to have it in your heart, right? An example of a prayer where we're going to praise the scripture about God. And this is an example prayer. Father, you are God Almighty in heaven, and I adore you. You are the Father, the Father, the One. Praise be your name. And Lord, as I come to this time in my life, there seems to be all kinds of things going on. And I'm drawn to this, your scripture. You, I know, are my shepherd. And because of that, I don't want for anything. You make me lie down in green pastures, and you lead me in all abundance. Lord, even at this time, I'm declaring that I'm going to be in abundance for you because you are in my life. Even when I'm brokenhearted or sad, even when I'm dealing with this thing, I know that I'm living in your presence, and therefore I'm in abundance. You restore me. You restore my soul. You lead me in paths that honor you. And though I walk through this time of darkness, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I know that you are with me, and so I don't have any fears of anything. I put my trust in you, Father, and in you I have my being. For you even caused me to sit down in front of those who hate me, and you feed me, and you give me strength when they would give me heart. And you anoint me, your cup, until this overflowing blessing is falling down and my cup runs over. Folks, can you get lost in a prayer like that as you just pray the 23rd Psalm? Can you get so in tune with God in that way that you would then be able to listen in silence for what he would speak to you? And when I say speak to you, I don't think you're going to hear anything in your ears. If you do, you need to see where it comes from. Okay. But as we open ourselves up to relationship like that, and we have that relationship, Lord, and we're silently contemplating all that God is and what he would have for us. And then we go back and look at scripture. We often hear him speaking directly to our need and bringing comfort to our world, because that's what he does. Folks, prayer is necessary for the Christian, just as necessary as reading his word, as trying to live a good life before him in honor of him. Prayer is absolutely necessary. And there's one other thing in prayer. I said that those are ways to be godly. The other two things were, let's be honest with God. You need to put everything on the table. You need to, that little petty thing that just, oh, it's not worthy of God, but praying him, he's not going to worry about that. Well, look, you know what? God knows you. He knows exactly what you're thinking. And if that little petty thing is on your mind, guess what? It is distracting you from worshiping him. Amen? And so if you got that little petty thing and it won't leave your mind, you need to give it to him and say, Lord, you know, I don't like the color of that carpet they put in the church. And I just want you to take that away from me, because I know that the color of the carpet don't matter. Maybe something a little more even petty than that. If it is on your mind, it is worth giving to him and opening up to him. Are you afraid because of some relationship? Are you afraid for a friend because they're in some relationship? Are you afraid because something that's out of your control that isn't going to hurt anybody, but it's on your mind? Give it to the Lord. Share it with him. Put it on the table. Be honest with him about the things that are in your life, because he already knows and you're not hurting. But when you pray for God, this is the mental image you need to have. I'm going to stand naked before him. Okay? Because he already knows all of it. And so put it all. And then you need to be real in your prayers. Being real means that it is for our living. We understand that God is in our circumstance. And so there's nothing that is out of bounds with God. Are you disappointed in God? Express that to him. We serve a big God. He's not petty. And so being real with him means that everything is valid to speak to him in truth. Be aware that he's going to speak to you in truth too. But we can express anything to him, even our disappointment. Now there's one final component to prayer that I want to leave with you. And that is when you pray, pray with passion. Do you know what passion is? Passion is the expression of love. That's what it is. And so when you pray, pray with passion. Now, that doesn't mean that you got to pray loud or strong or whatever, but with love in your prayer. Make sure that you understand that I'm speaking to the God Almighty who created everything. Not only that, he's the all-powerful, but love him. Loves me. And as we do these things in prayer, we will have communion with God. More than just talking to, more than just in communication with, but we will have communion with God. And he will come in and fill those places in our lives that are not otherwise possible to fill. Church, this was just the first half of the sermon on prayer. Maybe we'll have another one day. But prayer is important. And it is something that we need to be intentional about and not just allow to accidentally happen or mindlessly happen. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Amen.